Okay, here we are back, hour number three on this Friday night. Going over to Ireland to talk to Father Paul Kramer. I had a video a couple of days ago that came in, and it was very interesting. It was, I think it was Mexico. I'm not sure. I sent it to you, Father Kramer. Welcome back, first of all.
Oh, yes. It's great to be back.
Now, I sent you that video, and I believe it was a father at a church in Mexico, and he was talking about it. What it sounded like to me was the beginning of an open rebellion. Did you get that sense? Did you get the video?
I think it was. Is that the one that Jeff Klump sent me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I watched it. Yeah.
I mean, they were talking like they weren't going to take it anymore, and they were going to do something about the outrages that are going on now, and they are outrageous. So anyway,
there
I don't know.
There is a growing number of people in the church who are becoming aware of the nature of this problem, that it's not just a bad pope.
And I want to say that you have had a lot to do with that, you and a couple of others, but Your reach on this program is enormous, and people listen. So well done, and congratulations, and thank you. Without you, the last living great true authority on the Fatima prophecies, to back up what you're saying, I don't know where we'd be. I'm not a Catholic, but I'm talking about there's a lot of good that comes out of that church, at least there used to be. But this gentleman on the video was talking about there was an overthrow. He mentioned Benedict the 16th. He was spot on with that. So it suggests to me that there's a growing awareness and intelligence and wisdom at the lower levels of the church administration, hierarchy, however you want to call it. It was good. I thought it was good anyway.
I read, now, back in the 1970s, early 70s, maybe around 1974, I think, 74, 75. So we're talking about almost 50 years ago. So I can't remember the source. But there was a book written on prophecy and by a credible, a reputable author, talking about a prophecy about an antipope, a false pope, and gradually there would become a growing awareness in the church among the prelates, among the cardinals, right, that this alleged pope would be a man who has no faith at all. He'd be a complete infidel. He'd be a total apostate from the faith, and he would just be masquerading as a Catholic.
Well, let me help you out with my words. He's a degenerate LGBTQ plus backing pervert and worse. That's my view of him. He's a fraud. And I'm, again, not in the church. I'm watching as a journalist, and those are my personal feelings.
Most importantly was the end worse, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because not only is all of the above, but like he has people in his, I don't know what they call it now. They changed the name of everything, like the Dicastery for Life or something. It was a commission that was founded by Pope John Paul II. Now, this is a Vatican agency that's supposed to be upholding and defending the human life. And Bergoglio is bringing in people who represent exterminism. We have to do population reduction. The agenda of the Club of Rome, and that's all those people, the Bill Gates of this world and such. This is what the Vatican has been hijacked, and those people control it now.
Right. And because they have so effectively and thoroughly taken over the visible, most visible portion of the the church hierarchy in the Vatican, it's going to be difficult to get them out. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a concerted effort. But if you think about it numerically, we got 1.3 billion Roman Catholics in the world, and if they were to wake up, they would crush the Vatican like a fly if they could be thoroughly and sufficiently awakened. And then they'd have to be directed on how to make their presence known in a maximal way.
There is a growing number of bishops, and I'm also among the cardinals, who have finally caught on. The penny has dropped. The connection has finally been made.
Good.
They understand that Bergoglio is attempting to completely reformat the church into something different than the Catholic Church.
It's not the Catholic Church anymore. That's what you've been saying. We've been saying they're changing the whole thing. It's not even so much a new version of the Catholic Church. It's a different church. And they're just trying to rip off 2,000 years of history and loyalty and morality and transfer it to some New World Order crap, which was told to me was going to be an effort 20 years ago. I knew this was coming. It's just horrific to see it.
And it's entirely counterfeit. I mean, it's a fraud, because it continues to operate with the name Catholic Church as if it were the Catholic Church, but it's not. It's a phony. It's a counterfeit church. Bergoglio's church is a sect. And Catholic bishops, there are many Catholic bishops who have been taken in thinking that he is the Pope of the Catholic Church and that the Vatican is the headquarters of the Catholic Church.
Well, may I? Here's a parallel. Joe Biden in the White House. He's an illegitimate president. He's not a president. He's corrupting the history of our country. Anyhow, go ahead. There's a parallel here, though. They're just replacing people with frauds and confederates to the cause of complete world reorganization and destruction.
Well, we may see something similar take place after the death of Bergoglio, which is not far off. He's 88 years old, as will probably happen with the expiration, whether it be the expiration of the term of office or the expiration of the man himself, Joe Biden. I have said this from the beginning. As soon as they began bringing charges against Donald Trump, I told people right off the bat, the Democrat Party is going to propel Donald Trump back into office. This guarantees that Trump will win the next election.
You know, I think of it more as a selection rather than election. This is all staged, in my view. I understand why you said election, but it really isn't an election. They'll do whatever the hell they want to do with this election process to come up with the results they want. We saw that in 2020. We've seen it countless other times, but never more vividly than 2020. The question is, I guess, will Biden even make it to the until the day of voting? I don't know. And if we lose Biden, we're going to end up with this brainless idiot woman and her Mossad husband. So good luck.
Yes, I was also saying that Biden being as senile, completely suffering from such dementia as he is. We have to hope that this Biden, that he doesn't die in office with Harris ready to replace him, because that would be the ultimate catastrophe.
Well, it'll be Tel Aviv running the White House then. That's what we got. And many would say that's probably already the case. Anyhow, all you have to do is look at what's going on at Gaza. No one will stand up to the Jewish state. No one will force them to back down. No one will allow. You can't bring food in there. It's got to be airdropped. So, look, this is another example of the Samson option that the Jewish state has at its disposal. That's their avowed protocol. They're going to destroy all Europe, if at the very least, if there's any means or effort made that will be successful to curtail and force them to obey. They're running amok.
This is going to be a messy outcome, but it's going to be also the undoing of Israel. The state of Israel, as we know it, has pretty much signed its own death warrant by the course of action it's been following. This will nail it shut for this is the undoing of Israel.
One can hope. They've gotten away with so much. And they use the formerly United States of America as their private bank, their cash cow. They don't pay for any of this stuff. This country's paying for it. This country's paying for the genocide of Gaza and the brutality in the West Bank. We pay for all and anything that the Israelis say they want and need. It's right there. This is really despicable. We don't run our own country here anymore, Father Kramer. You know that, anyway.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Catholics don't run the Vatican anymore. I've heard what is a very credible report that after Benedict made his, I should say, his canonically, legally. Not entirely. Well, I won't say not entirely. It was a defective. It was a defective resignation. He was still the Pope when they were electing a new Pope. But right. That, leaving that aside, the report is that the first man elected was Cardinal Scola, and he had already chosen a papal name. I can't remember what it was, but he had already chosen a papal name. And he was on his, he and his entourage there were on their way to the balcony of St. Peter's to present the new pope. When Bergoglians chased him down and said that there were some spoiled ballots that invalidated the election, they had to go back and resume the election. Now this is totally false. It does not invalidate the election. So according to this report that I consider highly credible, Cardinal Scola was elected. So if Benedict had not validly resigned, at least the man to replace him would have been someone like himself. So we would not have had much of a difference between what came before Benedict.
Yes, very, very important point. Yes, yes.
After.
Yeah.
But they used that fraud to engineer the bringing in of their own man. And their own man was Bergoglio, even from the time that. Ratzinger was elected and took the name of Benedict because I remember, I think it was Cardinal Murphy O'Connor who was briefly interviewed, I think it was on the BBC, just after Benedict was elected. And they asked him for his comment, and Cardinal Murphy O'Connor said, "We did not get our man."
No, they sure didn't. No. I just wonder how, at that level of church power and influence, were you watching the changing of the guard at the Vatican over recent years? Were you seeing people being brought in who were no longer traditional devout and devoted Catholics into the Vatican? And at what point right now are we in this changeover? How much of it is Bergoglio?
Well, Bergoglio has really been stacking the Vatican with his own kind of people now. Before, it was a matter of infiltration because you had popes who tried to keep the Vatican Catholic even though the popes themselves had some corrupted ideas, they still, right. their hearts were with the Catholic faith, even though their minds were corrupted to a certain extent, especially by the Second Vatican Council, as is well pointed out by Archbishop Viganò. I know people who were involved with trying to prevent this rot from coming into the Vatican. A man who was in charge of commission that overlooked the hiring and firing of people in the Vatican was a man by the name of Monsignor Guglielmo Zanoni. I knew him personally. He was a good friend of mine. And at one point, he was replaced by Archbishop Giovanni Coppa, who was not of the same mind, to put it mildly. Monsignor Zanoni was a man of God, and he had that reputation. He was a man of sanctity. Everyone knew that he was a saintly man, and not only that, he was a man of great learning and experience. But he was replaced with one of these political creatures, Archbishop and later Cardinal Giovanni Coppa. And the infiltration only increased by then. I mean, it goes back even to the time of a great pope like Pope Pius XII. Toward the end of his pontificate, there were some of those elements creeping into the Vatican already. He was the one who made Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio a bishop. Now, Baggio was the one who was later on uncovered. It was the facts were uncovered that he was a Freemason. And so you had the man in charge of appointing bishops throughout the world was a Mason.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not a surprise.
So that already started during the time of Pius XII. When Pius XII was getting old, he didn't quite have the control of the Vatican as he did when he was younger. It was... again, as he was getting old, it was he had Archbishop, not yet an archbishop. It was Father Annibale Bugnini, who was in charge of revising the liturgy of the church, and this is an unmitigated disaster, which eventually resulted from Bugnini, who was another Mason. And who was discovered to be a Mason during the time of Pope Paul VI. Uh-huh. He's the one that Paul VI quietly removed from the Vatican by sending him to be the apostolic nuncio to Iran. So instead of corrupting the church's liturgy, he finished his days out in Iran with the Ayatollah Khomeini, where he would do the least harm.
Interesting. All right, well, it goes back. What are the chances of any of the remnants at the top levels of the Vatican and others? And I'm talking about yourself and Viganò, joining together and actually setting up an identifiable counter-Vatican center somewhere and to begin to issue edicts correcting the perversion and perverse nature of the Bergolians and what they're up to, formally releasing them, laying the schism out wide open in broad daylight, and taking a position rather than, you know, using social media posting platforms. I mean, literally putting out a weekly or a biweekly statement from a group. You don't have to physically be together, but you could do this, and it would have a lot of clout, I would think. Is that a dumb idea, or is that a good idea?
It's going to happen one way or the other. The Bergolians are already in a mode of panic. It reminds me of the communist government of Cambodia just before it fell.
Okay.
The Khmer Rouge communist government, how they became so paranoid and strident. Yes. just before they were overthrown. And we see this kind of paranoia in the Vatican today. They are labeling bishops and cardinals as promoting schism. Those who are pointing out the total aberration and outright apostasy of these people in the Vatican. And it's becoming more clear in the minds of bishops and cardinals that Bergoglio is creating a counterfeit church. It's a false church. It's not the Catholic Church at all.
Right.
And as they become more and more aware, there's going to be a reaction. When Bergoglio finally dies, there are two main possibilities here. There may be enough clout in the Catholic hierarchy to bring about the election of a Catholic pope, in which case the papacy would be restored in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it happens. Go ahead, please.
If that doesn't happen, then if a Bergoglian clone, if somebody like Fernandez becomes Francis II,
yeah,
there will probably be enough cardinals, and with significant support from the Catholic hierarchy, that they will elect a true pope, a Catholic pope. And he would not, even if they would maintain possession of the Vatican. It has happened in history before, with the election of anti-pope Anacletus II. He had possession of Rome. He had possession of the Lateran, St. Peter's, and all of that in Rome. Right. The true pope was Innocent II, and he had to operate from outside of Rome for some time before he finally was able to regain control of the papal palace in St. John Lateran's.
Okay.
So it's happened before. History repeats itself.
If I might. It has happened before under this much duress. I can't imagine things have gotten a whole lot worse than they are now. I mean, this church has really been hijacked, and it's being redirected into an entirely new configuration inside and out. So I'm glad to hear there have been some historical precedent on this. I wish the splinter group, if you want to call it that, or the true group, the true Catholics, would set up an organization now and begin to issue weekly edicts. I wish that would happen right away. I don't think we have a lot of time to waste. That's just me again.
The Bergoglians are so radical, and their radicalism is becoming so obvious and apparent that it guarantees their own downfall.
Right. Good to hear.
It reminds me of something.
When, Father Kramer, when? Next week? Next year? When is the right time?
I think we're going to wait for the. We're going to have to wait for the death of Bergoglio. And being that he's 88 years old and winding down, I don't think he has much time to go.
You think we should wait until then? Why not start setting it up now? At least Sub Rosa.
I don't think we should wait until then, but I think we're going to have to wait until then because the cardinals seem to be afraid to act.
Well, this is not a time for fear, as you know. I'm happy to help if there's anything I can do with this platform. If it were to be something that was done, put together, I'm ready. Yeah. So
what I fear most is that with the conclusion of the synod in October, that Bergoglio's reforms are going to be consummated and they're going to be formalized, and his counterfeit church is going to become a reality, a formal reality. His synodal church is going to be, as he promised, it would be a different church. It's going to have something entirely different than the Catholic faith. It's going to have a moral code entirely different than the commandments of God that we have in the, as taught by the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's going to be the United Nations agenda pushing worldly church that has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that becomes a formalized reality, a formalized entity, and calling itself the Catholic Church, that's going to really, magnify the crisis as if it weren't bad enough already. That's why I agree with you. It would better act before Bergoglio dies.
Step right in during the confusion. Step right in during the confusion, ready to go. And demand that things be turned back around and headed in the right direction. I think waiting. I don't want to be redundant here, but waiting is a mistake. That's just again me. I'm not speaking for Father Kramer or anyone else. I'd say we do this now. You people get together and just quietly, but be ready to go.
I agree entirely with Archbishop Vigandol. Who said that what they need to do is the Swiss Guards need to use military action to remove Bergoglio and his gang. That's what they need to do.
Well, that's, you're talking about the Swiss Guards, I assume.
Yeah, because they're the military force of the Vatican, and their job is to defend the papacy. And what we have is a gang of pirates. They've turned the bark of Peter, the ship of Peter, into a pirate ship. And it would be in defense of the papacy that they would remove this man. He's got to be removed.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Are we hearing any rumblings from the rank and file of the faithful who attend the churches and go to Mass and services? Are they beginning to catch on as to the degree of outrage that has been perpetrated in the Vatican? Are they getting it?
There's a growing number, are becoming aware of it. Unfortunately, there are still far too many who are just too fearful to contemplate what was actually happening. And they make excuses for this man. They say he's being misinterpreted, that he's the...
Oh, please, yes. interpreted, misinterpreted. No, no. All right, well, so they're not there yet. They're not ready to rise up yet. Okay. But their leadership will. Now, you have a lot of respect around the world. So does Archbishop Vigano and others. I don't know how many others, but that's enough. You start somewhere and you build. And you invite those who believe in the real church to step forward and join your movement. You know how to do all this. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm so involved with it, but it just really bothers me to see these globalist dark entities moving something good into something that is no longer as good as it was. It bothers me.
What we need is a significant portion of the Catholic hierarchy simply to withdraw recognition from Bergoglio as Pope and simply declare that this man is bogus. He's not the Pope of the Catholic Church.
Right, right.
And until a valid, true Catholic Pope is elected, they have to just ignore this man as if he's not there. If they can't get their act together to the point of electing a valid Pope now, at mm-hmm. least as by Pope Gregory the 16th, when the monarchical rule of the church breaks down, then the church reverts to an aristocratic rule, like when the king, when there can no longer be a king who can rule over his kingdom, then the princes and nobility have to govern their territory, govern each one their own little patch of territory, their own patch of turf. So the bishops would have to govern the church in their diocese, and it's not an ideal situation. But and Pope Gregory the 16th mentions that that's not the way the church should have to function, but for a time temporarily, it would have to operate that way until the problem of the papacy is rectified. But what is most important is that the Catholics of the hierarchy, the Catholic bishops, simply must withdraw all recognition from this man, show him absolutely no respect. He's an intruder, and they must treat him like an intruder. They must they must not extend any recognition whatsoever. Before church law, the man has no ecclesiastical dignity. He's an outsider, he's an intruder, and he has to be treated like that. And that's the biggest defense the church can make for itself right now. As long as Bergoglio and the Bergoglians are in control of the Vatican, the rest of the church, as much as the rest of the church that's left that is Catholic, which is really the whole church, because outside of the Catholic Church, you don't have the church. You have a different church. What Bergoglio himself said is a different church. So the Catholic Church, the true apostolic Catholic Church that upholds the Catholic faith and the profession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, and the commandments of God, that church has to completely disengage itself from Bergoglio and the Bergoglians, and they have to get on with the life of the church for so long as they cannot elect a true pope, to get on with the life of the church temporarily without a pope, but to continue hierarchically the bishops in their diocese and to operate as the Catholic Church and have nothing to do with this Vatican, because it is not of the Catholic Church. It has no authority from God. It is against Jesus Christ. It is against God. It is against the teaching of the apostles and prophets. It's against the both the Old and the New Testament. It's a false alien religion. It is a cancer. It is attempting to destroy the Catholic Church. And there must be a resolute, forceful rejection of the Bergoglians by the Catholic hierarchy. That's the only thing that will work.
Well said. Well said. There's a call to arms right there, or a call to action. Well, I hope it happens. Time is critical here. I think if Bergoglio were to be called up or called down tomorrow or the next day, the enemies of the church, would take full advantage of the chaos and further solidify their stranglehold on what used to be a really remarkable organization. They've got to be met and met quickly when this happens. That's why I hope that something will be done aforehand.
This masquerade cannot go on, that these people presenting themselves as the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, Bergoglio and Fernandez, they represent everything that the church opposes.
Got it. Yeah.
And that itself is the most evident proof that they are not of the Catholic Church, that they are counterfeit. All of them, they're counterfeit. What is the most luminous, the most clear, persuasive, convincing aspect of the church that manifests and proves that it is the true Catholic Church, is that radiant presence of the Catholic faith that emanates out of the Vicar of Christ in Rome, the true Pope.
Right.
And we have the opposite. We have what, if we could compare the true Pope to the false Pope, like the white smoke and the black smoke that we see in the papal elections, the clear light of faith that should be emanating from the Vatican, it's not. There's nothing clear and light and white there. It is black. It is the blackness and foulness of the of all the filth from hell that inhabits the Vatican now.
Right. Perfect word. Foulness. Yes, I agree. Excellent. What is going on that's new? That would be another sign of a direction, a perversion that this bogus leadership in the Vatican is now embarking upon or has planned soon. What are their plans? Do we have any new information? In other words, everything is done by progression. We know that. But what do you know?
That's right. They're, gradualism, it's their own word. Mm-hmm. They follow this policy of gradualism. Their agenda is of gradualism. And they want to completely dismantle the command structure of the church.
Uh-huh.
They want to make it regional. They're going to even want to have the next pope to be elected to be not elected by cardinals but by even non cardinals non priests even female electors to come in and take part
right,
in the
right.
election of the next pope. They're going to have they're going to have female priests. They're going to have a complete, total dismantling of the moral code. That means there will be no restrictions whatever to regarding sexual relationships between human beings and who knows what else.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand. this blessing of same-sex couples, what is the status of that right now? Is that a church-wide approved behavior in the church?
There are a significant number of bishops and even groups of bishops who reject it outright. And Fernandez has come out and said that they can't resist, they can't reject it, but they do reject it. There are some who do reject it, and they're having difficulty forcing this, especially on the Africans. And Cardinal Robert
Why so?
Sarah.
Why the Africans? What do you take on that? Why? What is it about the African church, the African Christian? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The African church has just not been so corrupted by this Masonic European ecclesiastical establishment that has corrupted the whole Western world. And the churches, the Catholic hierarchies of the Western world, they infiltrated, they took over. And I remember you had, during the pontificate of Pope Paul VI, the apostolic delegate to the United States was a man by the name of Jean Jadot. And Archbishop Jadot even bragged about the fact that he came to the United States. That was in the 1970s, and he found a conservative hierarchy there. And when he finished his term as what is now the nuncio, that was the apostolic delegate, that he returned, when he returned to Rome for his retirement, and he said that he had left behind a liberal hierarchy, where there had been a conservative hierarchy before them. Mm-hmm. And of course, the liberal hierarchy is one that is infected with the errors of Freemasonry.
Right.
The modernist heresy is just the embodiment of Freemasonry, of Freemasonic thinking in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The corruption of Catholicism and its the Masonic rot that takes the place of Catholic thinking.
Yes, the Masonic rot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm still looking for if I can get any kind of an indication. If you know, now this is all planned out, if you know what their next approach is going to be. Blessing a same-sex couple was a fairly substantial move. What might be next? Do you have any inside information? I'm curious.
They want to institutionalize all of these heresies. They want to not just blessing same-sex couples, but they want to regularize same-sex relationships in the church. They want to regularize adultery, mm-hmm. divorce and remarriage, and adultery. Bergoglio says that these cohabiting couples, men and women living together and having children but not ever getting married, he says, well, those are really valid marriages. But he actually said that.
Unreal. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I think I gave the reference with the verbatim quotation in one of the volumes of my book. But it's well known. It's easy to find. People don't have to take my word for it. They've got Google to they can look it up, and they should find it if they have any competence at all in doing searches. Some people can't find so easily on the first hit what they're searching for. But mm-hmm. When you have more experience, when you gain some experience in searches, you'll find these things easily enough. Yes, Bergoglio did say that these are valid marriages, that these cohabiting couples, because of the fidelity they have in their relationship, that makes them valid spouses.
I see.
So Bergoglio has denied the very sacramentality of matrimony by saying that.
Yes, he did. Sure. Yeah.
Total heretic.
Well, the world is being disassembled, and the Catholic Church somehow is flying under the radar in the media, because the media is controlled by them on the other side. They're not getting any real story material out. They're not interested in publicizing what's going on with the church. So it really is up to you and programs like this and whatever else you can do. We're not getting the kind of coverage. I'm just telling you, I'm not seeing it out there, and I should be. This is a big deal, but they're keeping it quiet so they can keep moving forward in their new direction. Then one day it'll be a done deal. At least that's their hope, I think. That's their plan.
The media is a major accomplice because the agenda that's being promoted by the Bergoglian Vatican, of course, is the secular, the liberal secular Masonic agenda that the media is pushing this agenda, and they see the Vatican pushing this agenda, and so they are very much motivated into upholding the lie that that's the Catholic Church in the Vatican, that the hierarchy that is entirely in line with the Bergoglian Revolution, that's the Catholic Church and that's the Catholic hierarchy. That man, Bergoglio, for them is the Catholic Pope. And they want to foist this idea on all the public of the world that's the church, that's the Catholic Church. It's just being updated and reformed to brought in line with the times. That the church was an anachronism that's behind the times and that's become irrelevant and now to make it a relevant social force in the world, Bergoglio is introducing all these wonderful reforms. So that's the idea that the media is promoting. It's taking falsehood and presenting it as truth.
Well, it's the oldest game in the book. And when you have the media on your side, either actively or passively on your side, the job becomes much easier. And they're doing it. This has to be brought out. I just hope there's something I can do to help more. I feel like I'm not doing enough. This is a huge story. And it's simply not getting any daylight at all. It must. And I don't know if do you speak with Vigano and the others often? Do you communicate with them?
I have not been in contact with Archbishop Vigano. I have been in contact with other cardinals, for example.
Right.
But I've not been to Rome now for 9 years. So,
wow.
Up until 2015, I was going to Rome rather regularly, and I was meeting with a good number of cardinals. A significant number of cardinals I was meeting with. With Bergoglio taking over, I had less reason to go to Rome.
Understood. No, I thoroughly understand. It would be repulsive to go and witness that. Anyhow, I'll just repeat. If anything should change and the people who are those who are aware want to do something to organize even quietly, I think it's a good thing to pursue, to consider, maybe to push for. It's just, there must be some opposition, and it must be strong, and it must be available soon. Very soon. I think we're running out of time.
They are finally becoming aware that they have to organize and that they have to oppose these people, that they can't make excuses for them, that this is the enemy. If I can quote the title of a book written by Father John, this is the enemy within the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. And they are in the gate. All right. Well, thank you, Father Kramer. That was another interesting conversation, and I stand by and I'm here to help if I can. And in the meantime, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night. And to all of you out there, wow, a very busy Friday night. 3 hours of a lot of information. Talk to you on Monday. We'll be with you at rents.com over the weekend, of course. Thanks for all your support. Do spread the word about the site, the program, and we have a lot of information to share. So enjoy it, use it, pass it around. Talk to you Monday. Have a safe and good weekend.